morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What does vanity mean? Perhaps you think of pride. But here it refers to a puff of air, nothingness, meaningless. Listen to another translation of our text. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What's the point in such a text? It sounds like the words of somebody who has given up. Imagine a preacher coming up here to the lectern and saying to you, "There's no point in any of you paying attention to anything I'm going to say because it's all pointless. Everything is pointless." Why would he say anything then? Is that what Solomon is saying to us? Is this just the pointless product of pure pessimism? No. Actually, the fivefold emphasis in our text on pointless is driving home a point by the preacher of Ecclesiastes about what is pointless. This preacher is reminding us to actually pay close attention because he's going to show us how to hit pay dirt. The ultimate gold strike. As in a gold strike, you need to clear away first the rubble and the fool's gold to find the real stuff. Solomon had fallen away from faith. He'd wandered through a lot of dark territory. He'd become entranced with a lot of fool's gold. But through soul-wrenching grief, he learned some very hard lessons about the deceptive nature of sin. His book of Ecclesiastes is able to give us the wisdom to learn that lesson from him. He learned it the hard way. He wants us to learn it from him. To cast aside that fool's gold and cling to the message that gives meaning. Solomon had set out on a quest to find satisfaction in life, to find significance in his works, sheer joy in wisdom, sheer pleasure in possessions. He'd made a careful plan for that quest, and he'd pursued it diligently. His reputation for wisdom had spread around the world. His architectural works were wonders of the world. And yet, he concludes, it's meaningless. Why? He had the five W's of world renown: wisdom, wealth, works, wine, and women. He had the three P's that most men seem to envy: possessions, power, popularity. And yet he found it all meaningless. Verse 3, what good does any of this do for the world under the sun? Everything came up meaningless. Absolutely pointless. Verse 14, life under the sun is grasping at the wind. Have you tried it? What do you get? Nothing. It's like a dog, perhaps you've seen that, snapping at soap bubbles. Do you want soapy air for your dinner? And remember, this analysis is being made for us by one who had the lifestyle of the rich and famous. Any food, anytime. Any escape, anywhere. In today's terms, he could jet off to Paris, to the Alps, to the Riviera. Any entertainment for any whim. And this analysis is also from one who did not have to worry about facing a big test tomorrow, or serving detention, or missing that free throw that could have won the game. So why? Why does he conclude everything is meaningless vanity? Chapter 4. You build something with great skill. And the injustice of others just abuses it. And then a fool comes along afterwards and destroys it. And what then about the benefit of wisdom and works just simply for yourself? He points out that the most skilled effort brings only unpredictable results, sometimes undreamed of consequences. Verse 17, in much wisdom there is much grief. In chapter 9, a poor wise man delivered his city from destruction, and no one remembered him. Chapter 2, the wise man dies the same as the fool. Seeing the vanity of all of his wisdom and work, Solomon gave himself over to delight in the strength of the horse and the thrill of the race. But he found that having pizza, donuts and dew with his buddies while watching athletic contests was also frustrating. Everything is meaningless. Chapter 9, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but time and chance control everything. And what happens to finding a thrill in the game when your hands are trembling, and your back is bent, your teeth are so sparse you can't chew, and your eyes so dim you can't see, so that you're scared of a few stares? Finding no meaning, no satisfaction in wisdom, wealth, works, wine, and the wonders of athletics, Solomon gave himself over to the Epicurean philosophy, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. He set about to satiate every desire he had, and yet he found that his desires were only insatiable tormentors, bringing him under slavery to their control, always demanding more, never offering contentment. Like a fire, they just need always more and more fuel. They torture thus, both in their demands and in their consequences. And then, like a handful of sand, they slip through the fingers. And yet, these words are not the product of pure pessimism, so that there is no point in paying attention. But rather, they are a profound preaching of the law. A message intended, yes, to make us hungry, to reveal that we need more than soap bubbles. Life under the sun, S-U-N, life without God, is finally and absolutely meaningless. But you are not stuck living under the sun, S-U-N, without God. For the Son, S-O-N, the Son of God, loved you and washed you from your sins in His own blood, and made you kings and priests unto His God and Father. He has redeemed you with His precious blood from the life that is empty, life without God. He has redeemed you with His holy blood for life that is full, life with God. And for that life, He has covered you with His perfect righteousness. This is the message that gives meaning. In Christ, you and all that you do have eternal meaning. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Hymn 50, 50, stanzas 1 and 2.